What we'll do is we'll spend the next sort of 30 minutes talking about how the cross-platform world is sort of doing around today. So if you look at it, you know, we've got Xamarin available as one of the frameworks to actually build cross-platform applications. And the interesting thing is we've also got a whole bunch of different tools and integrations across the board that will help you through your DevOps journey. And if I go on to my next slide over there, what we will have is basically a whole bunch of things that we are trying to sort of demystify as we go through the journey itself. So let's start off by looking at what's happening today. You know, if you think about it, you've got three different platforms that are sort of most popular out there, the core platforms that everyone's sort of using, right? But the interesting thing is, if I am a startup, if I am a small company with maybe a few devs, maybe one or two devs in most cases, I'm always having to maintain three different code bases. Well, actually, before that, I'll have to learn three different languages. Start off with Objective-C, maybe, go on to Java, and then the good old C# as well. And sometimes, you know, we refer to that as the native development approach. So let's try and figure out what native really is. What is this native thing that enables us to write apps that work better? I like to sort of summarize it or boil it down to sort of three core things, right? The first one being having a native UI. If you think about native UI, what that really means, your typical user, if they're going out there to buy an iPhone or an Android device or a Windows device, they're buying that for the look and feel of that device. They're buying it for the core functionality, the way the UI works, the way the sort of framework works itself, and the design guidelines that they follow. So as a developer, it's sort of my core responsibility to sort of have that, give that experience back to my users as well as part of it. Similarly, you've got, you know, native APIs. As a developer, I deserve to get access to the APIs before the operating system goes into market, and that's effectively what a good a platform will define for me as well. And of course, I want to achieve everything that I've just talked about by not compromising on the speed and performance that I receive for all of my applications. So if you go back to the initial slide, the siloed approach where you had three different platforms and three core you know, operating systems, the thing is, you are sort of ending up to manage all the different three code bases. You might have different CI pipelines if you're developers or ops people as well. So you're having to maintain three different CI pipelines. You'll have different deployment strategies for each of the platforms. And it's just a bit of an extra work overload in some cases, as we call it, to maintain these three different code bases. And then if you think about it, you know, what if there was just a black box where I just type in some code and it spits out some, you know, beautiful apps for me across running three platforms? What we've seen over the last couple of years really is there's been an oncoming of a lot of JavaScript frameworks, and it makes sense. It's okay, yeah. But what is interesting is most of these frameworks, more often than not, end up building apps that sometimes are running on web views. And are giving a very degraded experience to every single user that's out there. And just because of that, there has been a very, you know, a bit of a bad rep for cross-platform frameworks in the market as well. Because one of the core things is that as a developer, when I'm using one of the JavaScript frameworks, I am building apps for that JavaScript framework. I'm using their API, not the API of that platform itself. And which is where we have this sort of unique approach with Xamarin. Now, what Xamarin allows us to do is basically share our logic across the board, across all the three platforms, and still have native access to all the native APIs throughout the three platforms. Just to get a quick show of hands, how many of you have used Xamarin before or are using it as part of your workloads? Right? Probably about 30, 40% of the audience. And I see about 120 students that got trained just about 2 days ago. So that's awesome. I hope it all worked fine. If you think about it, you've got, you know, full access to all the different C# goodness that you've got in there. So if I want to write, make a request, a web request of some sort, I can just use HTTP client very easily. And that's the benefit of using C# right there. If I want to make the most of my IO operations, I can still use my native C# experiences and use them across the different platforms. Now, what is also interesting is for Windows, for example, you've got all these platform-specific APIs that I want to get access to as a developer when I'm building apps for this platform. So I get full access to that as well. Now, what is interesting is we have the same functionality and the same coverage across iOS. And we actually have 100% API coverage across iOS and 100% API coverage across Android as well. So as a developer, I can share the logic as much as I want and I can still access those hardware components through the native APIs across the three platforms. And if you look at some of the apps that are on the store using using Xamarin as their preferred tool of choice for development, you can clearly see, for example, if you look at iCircuit, I think on its launch it was the top app on the iOS store or whatever it's called on the tablet sort of form factor. And if you see it across the board, they were sharing about 86%, about 70% to about 90% of their code across the app itself. Now what that means is, as a developer or as a team of developers, I'm having to maintain a single code base, which is a massive chunk of my overall code base for that specific app platform. Now, how do we do this by still, how do we achieve all of this by still staying 100% native without losing any native performance capabilities? Now, let's look at iOS, for example. What we do with iOS is do ahead of time compilation that then runs through the same LLVM processes or optimizer and compilers that's used by Swift and Objective-C that Apple uses as first-party supplier of the store itself. And then what we do is we then sort of convert that into our ARM binaries over here that runs natively on that iOS device itself. And similarly, we've done something similar on the Android platform as well. I think it's probably easier on Android because it's running a JVM behind the scenes, and it's a lot more easier for us to tap into that. What is also interesting is that we have been shipping on day one since the launch of iOS 5. So since iOS 5, we've been shipping on day one. A very recent example was iOS 10. The day the operating system went into the market, we had it available for our developers to use within Xamarin as well. Why is that important? Because as all of us know, most of the iOS community out there update their devices in the first few weeks. About 60 to 70, 80 odd percentage of people update their devices. So it's very important as a developer to have full access to those APIs. And as you can see on the left, probably you're right, it's not just about mobile phones anymore. We are exploring into different areas as well. So you've got full support for building Apple Watches, you've got support for Apple TVs, you've got Android Wear, you've got some sort of newer things that we are doing in Windows as well, for example. You've got Universal Windows Platform Support that takes that same app all the way down from Raspberry Pi to HoloLens as well, if you want to take that into the future. And if you don't take away anything from this session, just make sure you remember this slide from here. Effectively, whatever you can do with Objective-C, whatever you can do with Swift, Java, or any of the language that's used by these three platforms, you can still achieve all of that within Xamarin. So that's one of the key takeaways that I would sort of like you to all take if you forget everything else that I talk about. And that's when we think, what if, I've been talking about Xamarin for the last sort of, 10 minutes already, but if you think about it, right, if you want to actually extend that experience, I've talked about sharing the logic so far. What if you want to take it a bit further? Share the UI as well. And that's where we have Xamarin Forms come into play as well. What is interesting with Xamarin Forms is that you get this thing over here, just the same thing, this traditional Xamarin approach where you've got the shared logic and your different UIs and stuff, that's all good. But you get the same experience, but in this case, you can also share the same logic for your UI as well. And that's the benefit of actually using Xamarin Forms that allows you to write applications. And I'm not saying that that's the solution for every single problem, but if you're building line of business applications, if you're building conference apps, if you're building apps that have very specific tasks to be achieved, then Xamarin Forms is definitely something to look out for, which makes it so much easier to develop all of your different applications. Now, what we also do with Xamarin Forms is that we give you a XAML front end to play with. Now, that comes with its own goodness of XAML as well. What you get access to is, two-way binding, because it's XAML. Who doesn't like two-way binding if they haven't used XAML before? You get access to navigation. You get access to animation APIs and the whole lot after that as well. But if you look at it closely, what you've got there is basically that code over there, which effectively says, I've got a tab page on all of my apps. It will automatically give me that native UI across the three platforms, and then it will find out that there's a login button over there at the bottom, which is binding to my login command in the backend. And that's it. just that much of code, and it works on all the three different platforms, and it's very, very useful for line of business applications for any of your companies as well. Now let's transition over to my demo machine and have a look at how we can easily build Xamarin apps through Visual Studio over here. So as you can see, Visual Studio, nothing different. What I'll do is I'll just go ahead and go File, New Project. Wait for it. And once it comes through, you know, just under C Sharp, I've got a whole bunch of options. I can literally go in there and select Android if I want to build Android apps, native Android apps, using my C Sharp skills, using the templates that Xamarin has provided me. But in this case, what I'll do is I'll just use a cross-platform application, and I'll select maybe the portable one, which comes with the portable class library to share across the three platforms, or I'll use a shared template as well. What I've done is I've just pre-built this template, which is nothing fancy, just the same template out of the box. And what I'll also do is I'll probably open up this emulator for Android that we've got within Visual Studio. Now, what is interesting is we don't own Android, we don't build Android, but what we've done is we've built one of the best emulators for Android that we've got through Visual Studio in here. It's super snappy. As you saw, I just had to press run, and off it goes and launches my app over there. Isn't that super cool? Well, I see that the app is not super cool. That's fine. It's pretty basic. But let's just go back and try something different. More often than not, we sort of think about, you know, apps, or so far what I've talked about is really apps that are sitting, you know, on your phones, not connected to the internet, and so on and so forth. In this case, if I go back to my Azure portal, oh, by the way, if you don't know about this, if you're using Azure already, if you double-click anywhere on the screen, you can change the color of it. yeah, a lot of people don't know this, but it's amazing. I love it. We can do this all day, but let's move on. All right. Let's go to one of the mobile apps that I have. So within Azure, we've got this app services platform, which has mobile apps baked into it. Now, what is interesting is that that mobile apps service within Azure allows me to build a backend in a matter of a couple minutes. So all I have to do is just go on new. I'll just demonstrate that over here. So if I just go on new, wait for it. Once the internet comes alive, go web and mobile, and I've got my mobile app right there on the menu over here. Let me just close that and go back to my home screen where I've got something that's already sort of deployed in some cases. Now what I'll do in here is I'll make a data connection. So I'll just scroll down easily, and under my mobile menu over here, under my mobile menu over here, I can just click on data connections from here. And what you'll see is I've got a data connection that's connected to a SQL database sitting in Azure as well. On top of that, I've added an easy table on top of it as well. So what that easy table allows me to do is create a table for that database without having to deal with any of the SQL stuff underneath that space. So as you can see, I don't have any data in there, but I've got a nice schema, I've got an ID, I've got version deleted, a soft delete as well available. And I can then go ahead and manage that schema for me as well if I wanted to. So if I want to add a few fields, maybe add a Boolean or a date time or whatever, I can do all of that from within the portal without having to move around at all. Now let's just zoom out and have a look at this API, Easy APIs feature as well. Similarly, to save time, I've just quickly created a new API. It was as simple as just clicking Add and then clicking OK. Now what is interesting is that if you follow that approach, maybe not. If you follow that approach, what you get is basically a URL that looks similar to this one over here. So that's the URL for my mobile app. But since I've made it anonymously accessible, I just need to attach the API version to it at the end and find the table names. And if I put that into my browser, okay, there we go, one too many, there we go. And if I just press enter, what you'll see is nothing fancy, but just an empty JSON array, because there's no data in there. So this gives me an easy access point. Now think about scenarios when you're going into a hackathon, maybe when you're going into a startup weekend, for example. You want to build a throwaway backend. This is the best way of doing it. Or if you want to build some line of business applications that help you engage with your internal staff. Or in my case, I've got an application that I've got for retailers, for example, who want to engage with their customers and give them full access to their stores and information around it from within the app itself. So let's switch back to Visual Studio and fire up that app as well. Now, what this is doing right now is compiling the app or building the app for me and then deploying that in real time on top of my emulator that I've got there. And it's the same, it's a similar device to a Nexus 5X, I believe. And to also sort of show the functionality, I'll just zoom in and show you that I've got this mobile app SDK already part of my solution, so I can make the most of the goodness behind it and use it within my app itself. Now, while it is building, there we go, success. So there we go, that's the app over there. Nice and easy, nothing fancy in there, but it's quite useful for someone who's got a retail store or someone who's got to engage with their customers quite easily. So I just click on the location tab, and from their point on, I go up to mobile services that I've got already set up in Azure. That's got a list of different store locations for me. Now, if I zoom in, I can click on any one of these. I can call that store directly from the app. I've got store hours and stuff. And it's extremely as simple as that to actually achieve this stuff. Now, what else I have to do is maybe leave feedback. And you can replace that with send an email or contact support or change your sizes if you're buying clothes and stuff. And you can submit that feedback right from the app itself. And this will then go back to my backend in Azure on mobile apps and make an entry in the SQL table for me, and it will be super easy for me to access that through an admin application built on Xamarin Forms as well. Cool. So if we switch back to slides now, what you'll notice is, so far, what we've done is just talked about building an app or building an app, right? So if you go back to the slides, what we'll notice is that we've also got this massive different sort of integrations across the pipe where we can actually take this further and think about how we build our code and how we deploy it in the cloud as well. It's a bit too bright for me as a developer, but you've got develop part over there, which I've just done in Visual Studio. Then we'll think about how can we actually enable this integration in the cloud that will help us build stuff in the cloud somehow. Then we look into the world's biggest test lab, so to say, which allows us to test apps in the cloud as well. And then finally think about how can you easily distribute these apps across different platforms using some of our investments that we've made very recently as well. And then finally, of course, you would want to monitor because you would want to know what your customers are doing as well. So let's look at build. How many of you are using Visual Studio Team Services right now? Yeah, quite a few people. Awesome. So within Visual Studio Team Services, we've got this nice area where you can actually not just host your code and source control, Git, TFS, whatever your flavor is, but also have these integrations in there that will actually build the app for you. What I've got on my demo machine over here is a simple example of that stuff in there. And the best part is I can do all of my planning within a Visual Studio Visual Studio Team Services and also take it further on as well. So if I come back to my demo machine over here and go up to Visual Studio Team Services, what I'll find is that I've got this pretty UI that has, you know, just over here, I've got a nice little dashboard. I can attach some more items to it on my dashboard so I can have it on the big screen when I'm developing and writing code and stuff. And then I can browse my code as well if I wanted to. So if I just click on the code tab, I will see, you know, my source code, and I've got the same source code for my shop application. But what is also interesting is that within the build feature that we've got in VSTS, we can enable continuous integration. So whenever I commit my code into this repository or whoever commits the code from the developer team, the code will be tested against a hosted client that will basically check if the app compiles or not. So there's no more of saying it works on a machine because you can actually prove it that it doesn't work on their machine if they are trying to say that. So if you look into that, and I'll just click on edit just to sort of quickly show you what I've got there. All I've done is basically I'm doing a NuGet restore. I'm then building an app against the Xamarin.Android build. And then lastly, I'm just signing off and aligning an APK for me to use later on that I can then pass it off to my deployment teams or my deployment integrations as well. So what if we just zoom out of there and go back to my build real quickly? And what is also interesting is For example, if you look, pay close attention over here, you'll see that there was a red line in there as well. So if I just zoom in, there was a red line just over there. Now, if I click on that red line, I can actually go in and inspect what went wrong and what was the reason behind that build failing. What this Visual Studio Team Services gives me is this nice sort of summary of information, and I can then go in and see that there was something that failed in the test one, because, you know, who needs to test? And then I can sort of go in there and figure out what the error was and fix up my code and then recommit everything else as well. So that is how a build system works. If you go back to the slides now, what we'll see is that we sort of covered off the build portion of it. And we've got this sort of testing stuff as well, because, you know, once you've built your code, you've developed your code, you've built your code, you also might want to test it. Well, actually, wrong question. How many devices are you testing your app on? That's probably a better question. What we've done is we've built the biggest, you know, test cloud in the world that will enable your test against multiple devices. Because if you look at one of the markets, the Android market, for example, about a year ago or so, this is what the device proliferation looks like. You've got devices from all segments, from running on different versions, doing a whole lot of different things, different screen sizes and stuff. But what enables us using Xamarin Test Cloud is that we can actually test against about 2,000 plus devices within the cloud by just giving it an APK to actually use. And if you go back to my demo machine now, what I'll also show you is this interesting feature called Xamarin Test Recorder. I can't see any of you. How many of you have seen Xamarin Test Recorder or used it? Very few. All right, perfect. So this might hopefully be exciting if it works. Let me quickly go back to my Visual Studio, close the solution, and I'll just open up a new solution. I'll go in there, and I'll select the test template over there. Once I select the test template, I can just pick whichever one I want. But in this case, I want to test the UI. So I'll click on that, and I'll just go ahead and press Enter. Now, this will create a new UI test project for me within Visual Studio for me to use against Xamarin. And all I have to do now is, as you can see, so if you go online and search for the Xamarin Test Recorder, if you're using Xamarin today, you should definitely download that extension. What you'll notice is, just next to my text fixture over here, I've got this little white and red icon. So let's click on that and see what it's asking me to do. I click on, hang on, I'll just zoom out. I click on that one over there, and I have to select APK. Now, what I haven't told one of my friends who's built this nice Christchurch transport app is that I've actually taken the APK from the web for his app, and we'll be testing if it's actually going to work or not. So you can go online, do this fancily, grab any APK from I don't know where, but there'll be somewhere that you can get this stuff from. Download that app and test it against all of your different devices. Now, what this is doing, it grabs that APK, deploys it onto my emulator. But what it also does is, if I scroll down, hopefully, it creates a new method for me, which is called new test. I hope that's visible at the back. Now what I'll do is, I'll simply go ahead and start playing with the app. And now you'll notice something happening in Visual Studio as well. So let's just pay close attention. I click on new, it adds a new task for me, app.tap. This is the idea of that little plus icon over there. I'll then go ahead and type the bus stop number. It's given me that as well. Perfect. I can then go ahead and save. It will record that as well. That save was called button one, typical developer. And then I will go ahead and open up that, actually a student developer. So then I'll go there and then I'll figure out and play with that app and I can then sort of finish up my tests and save that over there. Now what is also interesting is I can go in and edit that test and it will still record it for me. Then I can easily go and stop recording, and I can use that template or use this little test project that I've got here and just submit it onto my Xamarin Test Cloud. Now, because of the internet being a bit wonky, I'll just quickly show you one of the things that I've already got spun up on my Xamarin Test Cloud. I just need to figure out which tab that was. There we go. This is what Xamarin Test Cloud looks like if you haven't used it before. What is interesting is that they've given us a couple of samples to actually play with and understand. Now, if you go in there, what you'll notice is I can see all the tests that I've run in the last sort of few you know, since I've sort of started using Xamarin Test Cloud. I've got 5 tests over here. This was the app size. This is the peak memory usage and so on. But let's investigate this test run that was done on 23rd of July, 2014. All right, let's go back. And then what I'll notice is I've got this little report that explains me, you know, how many devices, you know, build failed and so on. And I can investigate further, filter by categories, operating system versions, and so on. But what if I could just go onto the cloud and get access to about 2,000 devices that can run my application for me? And by the way, I even tried the Galaxy Note, it didn't explode. It was fine. I tried it, but yeah, it wasn't there. So as you can see, I've got access to all the different applications out there. I've got access to, you know, different devices, different form factors, different Android versions. I can't find the Note still, so it's probably gone. Maybe it blew away or something. Anyway, so I can then go ahead and look into what actually happened with that specific device in there. And I can go in and see the device log if I wanted to, or I could have a look at the stack trace based on the errors that were thrown using the test cases that I've got in here. So it's just as simple as that to actually make full use of Xamarin Test Cloud and make it easy to use. Now if we go back to our slide deck once again and have a look at some of the next steps moving on from this journey of testing everything in the cloud is where you can actually distribute and monitor your applications as well. So what we did was earlier, just about, you know, a few months ago, we acquired this company called Hockey Apps that lets you distribute our applications across all the 3 different platforms. Now, this is one of the sample sort of screenshots that I've got there. But what is also interesting is I can then go ahead and not just distribute my apps across the 3 different platforms, iOS, Android, and Windows, but also get access to some of the insights through my customers throughout the journey. Now, as a Microsoft employee, for example, we've got about 100,000 odd employees across the globe. What is interesting is every app that we build, we can easily test it out with the first 100,000 people by just deploying it through Hockey Apps. And that is super powerful if you think about your companies as well. If you're shipping for your customer, maybe deploy it for their internal staff first through Hockey Apps and give them full access to that stuff. It is super, super powerful with the stuff that it can achieve. So throughout this journey, what we've sort of talked about is really the develop part, where we build code in Xamarin. We've built our code in the cloud so that no one can now say it works on my machine. And then we went into the biggest test lab of this world and tested our app against the Xamarin Test Cloud with about 2,000 odd devices, distributed it using Hockey Apps, and finally we can monitor that using the Xamarin Insights feature that we've got in there. So effectively, what you're seeing there is the fact that doesn't matter what your device of choice is, if you're on a Mac or on a Windows machine, you can still build everything in there, deploy it to Visual Studio Team Services, make use of the whole integration across the board, and then make it available for your customers where they are using the platforms and frameworks that they're using already. But what we also did this morning was, at about 3 a.m. New Zealand time, earlier today, we announced this new service called Visual Studio Mobile Center. So this thing will allow you to actually further simplify what I just demoed over here. So everything is valid, but this actually allows you to further simplify all the different bits and pieces across the board. And it is a very, very amazing feature that's in preview that was just announced earlier today. What is also interesting is that Xamarin across the board is available for free if you have got a Visual Studio license. And the best part is it's also part of the community edition. And that's why we had all the students using it about 2 days ago through our MSA training just about 2 days ago. But what we also announced earlier today was the fact that we've got Visual Studio for Mac available now. So if you're a Mac user and you wanted to use Visual Studio, that stuff is available for you. Build your .NET Core apps. Full support for Xamarin, of course, Xamarin Studio, you know. .NET development across the board, if you want to use, you know, build .NET Core apps, full support for that. And you've got full support for Azure across the board as well. So it's just a very exciting time to be a developer and start using these services. Now, to further up that, what you've also got is that within Visual Studio, you don't have to pay any extra costs. If you've got Visual Studio on your Windows machine, you can use the same license on your Mac device as well. There is a free community edition for everyone who's student or, you know, classifies under a few categories. And then the best part is the preview is available today, so go back home and download that stuff right now. And by the way, one thing I forgot to mention, well, actually, don't download that right now because the internet is not very good. One thing that I forgot to mention was that Xamarin is open source across the whole platform. So if you go online and search and go on to open.xamarin.com, you'll find that all the SDKs, the whole platform, the whole framework itself is open source. So you can go, contribute, see what's happening, feature upgrades, everything's available for everyone to look at. And Xamarin is not just being used by me on stage, but it's also being used by hundreds of companies, as you saw in the video earlier before I came on stage. One such company is Black Bay, based out of Christchurch. And what they are doing there is actually transforming the way they actually use mobile apps to engage with their customers. What is also interesting is that they've been in operation for the last 25 years, and they've been ahead of the curve on every single technology and making the most out of it.